From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, which is really becoming the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. And we're 10 years into the show. And I think today is going to be interesting because we have six people on the show, including me today, which is a lot more than normal. But it's for good reason. We have a great cause that we're talking about today. And it's where it's kind of the intersection where the business community meets the philanthropy. And there's something called the L5 Investments Capital Cup, which is a golf tournament whereby a guy by the name of Kurt Rocca, I believe, started this 10 years or so ago, maybe a little bit more. And I think over the time since inception, you guys have raised like $20+ million. I think you went over the hump this year, but you've already raised $2 million this year. My son is playing in it for the first time this year. So excited to hear what's going on with the Capital Cup this year. And our guests, I'm going to have them introduce themselves because some of these guests have a really more of a business community and they're golfers. And some are actually representing charitable organizations that are really mission driven and doing great things for our community. So maybe I'll start with you, Adam. You're the big man here. You played before. You're on the Rivercats team. Are you the coach of the Rivercats team?
I am the team captain.
So give me just a little bit of your background and then the charity you're playing for as well.
Sure. So I'm Adam Johnson. I own Golf Fitness Solutions, and I've been playing in the Capital Cup. This is going to be my fifth year. For some inexplicable reason, they asked me to be the captain this year. I think it's because 16 other people said no, but I went ahead and said yes. So I'm playing for the first tee of Greater Sacramento. I was a board member there for about 6 years before I stepped off and had one of my other trainers take over my position there. And now I just do fundraising for them. So far, we've raised about $55,000 for them so far this year.
Okay. And you're playing for the charitable organization. It's called First Tee.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, maybe just help me with the overview of the L5 Capital Cup. How did I do on, I guess, explaining it? And is there anything else we should add about what it is since you've been doing this for a while?
You kind of took everything I was going to say. Oh. All my talking points are gone.
Yeah,
so we've been around for 11 years. Like you said, Kurt Rocca and also Kerry Gordon started it up. They started it up based off of this idea that there's a golf tournament every Monday at pretty much every golf course trying to raise money. And there's just a lot of very good charities out there where people are doing a lot of really good work. So Kerry and Kurt thought to themselves, how can we make it a little bit more impactful? So they thought instead of doing just a regular tournament, they would bring everybody together and have everybody raise money for their individual charities instead of having it be one charity. So I believe it started out with, I think, 16 players, and it's worked its way all the way up to 32 players in a Ryder Cup style format. So we play a alternate shot match on Friday. We play a best ball match on Saturday and then individual on Sunday. And what happens is each of us plays for our own individual charity, all 32 of us. So we get to raise, well, like you said, I think right now we're about $2,055,000 so far this year. So pretty good start.
And so the teams play, there's four teams, is that right? Or is there two teams?
Two teams.
There's two teams, and some people are great golfers. You're obviously in the golf business. I assume are you a good golfer?
I'm decent.
Okay. But there's some golfers that are probably lousy or mediocre. So how do you accommodate for that weakness? You play the handicap thing?
Yeah, thank God for the USGA. So you've got anywhere from Tom Morton over at Hagen Oaks, or Morton Golf is our low guy. I think he's a plus 0.7, which in my opinion makes him kind of sandy, but that's neither here nor there. All the way up to, I think our highest handicap is Alex Wicks from Bizhaven, and I think she's a 43 handicap. So you can really kind of bring
how high do they go?
We can't count that high. But she can, and that's the important thing, and she's got a great attitude.
I love Alex. She's awesome. She's the president of the Entrepreneurs Organization, too. Mm. I don't know who she played for. Hopefully, she's playing for EO. We're a nonprofit.
She's playing for Olivia Chan, I believe.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll check in with her. So next, I'm going to kind of go around and make sure everybody gets introduced, and then maybe I'll dive into some specific questions. So, Eric, right? Eric, you're the wealth management guy. I had Adam picked out as a wealth management guy. I don't know either one of you, but maybe tell me about your business and then which charity you're playing for.
Well, I think Adam was a wealth management guy at some point. So there, he's got that.
Banned?
He's got that going.
What happened?
I like helping golfers feel better.
That's funny. I have kind of two prongs to the business. One is a traditional kind of wealth management, financial planning business. And then the other is more kind of a boutique financial consulting, tax planning consulting portion. So we help kind of high net worth individuals save money on taxes through various strategies. And I partner with a bunch of different CPAs to help them do that.
Okay. So probably like when people are getting ready to sell their company.
Yep. Exit planning. Oftentimes it's big capital gain events or big income events. And sometimes it's just ongoing high incomes. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who are you playing for and why?
So I am playing for Sierra Pregnancy and Health. It started as a connection through my dad, but it's grown into be... So my dad's been involved with Sierra Pregnancy Center for a number of years now and is extremely involved in their fatherhood program and various other programs. So he was kind of what sparked the interest, but I have five kids. So it really connected for me in terms of supporting life, supporting pregnancy, just individual families to continue to basically, yeah, get the resources they need to grow and to become, having kids and, being successful in that. So
is this your first year playing in the Capital Cup?
It is. Yeah. First year.
Are you a good golfer?
I am decent. Okay. Yeah. I used to be better.
Do you have a handicap?
I do. It's like a two. So
He's being modest.
I played for UC Davis back in the day. This was 20 years ago.
Ringer. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is the person you're playing for, organization you're playing for,
yes,
Sierra?
Yes, this is Carrie. Yes.
Carrie, can you give us a little bit of your background and then maybe tell us about the organization?
Sure. My name is Carrie Wilcox. I am the CEO of Sierra Pregnancy and Health. We are a community organization that supports the greater Sacramento area for families that find themselves in an unplanned or unsupported or uninsured pregnancy. But we do more than that. We have resources that connect them to local agencies, but we also offer families diapers and wipes for free. We have a baby boutique. We offer educational classes where they can earn incentives, everything to help strengthen their family as they are raising children. And this year, we launched our fatherhood program, which is really bringing the voice and importance to the father of the family.
About time. Come on now.
It's so true.
2025.
I know. And it has made all the difference in the world. We are now offering her a better way to make a choice for her unplanned pregnancy by bringing the father in and allowing him to not only use his voice, but then we train him how to be a dad. We train him how to support her and how to come alongside her, but then also how to be a dad so that he can learn how to change diapers and swaddle babies.
Get up in the middle of the night, all the time.
All of those important things that you all know.
Okay, so thinking about what the use of funds, when you raise money in a situation like this, does it go to a specific part of the business?
It will go to the entire clinic, but it will be specifically geared towards expanding our fatherhood program to bring in more dads, offer more education. And actually, we have what we call dadvocates. They're our fatherhood coaches. So we want to get them in training later on this year and in the next year. And so all the funds will be used just to strengthen that program and then those resources around the program that strengthen the entire family.
Wow. Good for you. Okay, let's go to our next golfer, and then we'll talk about the charity you're playing for as well. So why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Jeffrey Gillespie. I'm with Jack's Urban Eats. I've worked for Jack's for about 20 years, and several years back, I had the opportunity to buy out one of the founders. So for the last several years, I've been an owner of Jack's. We're getting ready to, now that there's a little bit younger ownership, we're getting ready to expand. We're looking here up in Rockland to open up a store. We should be opening up a new location in Carmichael by the end of the year. And we're looking other places throughout the greater Sacramento area.
And when you open a location, I imagine the whole community gets a little bit more healthy. Is that right? Because your food, it tastes good, but it's generally like it's health stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, we say you can be as healthy as you want to be. So you can make your own salad. You know, we try farm to fork. Everything's made in house. But you could also get a barbecue tri-tip, urban fries. So it depends on what we try and have an offering for everyone.
Where's the closest one? We're in Rockland now on Granite Drive for anybody who's listening. So it's kind of like along the freeway. What's the closest one to us?
So you could either go to Granite Bay at Sierra College in Douglas, or you could go to the Fountains in the Fountain Shopping
Those
Center.
Those are the two I've been to. Okay.
But currently I'm not sure It's off Whitney Ranch Road. It's a Nugget shopping center that's being built right now. Wow. We're in talks of, you know, we're pretty fairly close to.
How many locations you guys have now?
We have 11 locations.
Oh, goodness. So hopefully, good for you.
Yeah. So congratulations. We're looking to grow in the next, you know, hopefully in the next couple of years, we'll get to five more stores open. Yeah.
Good for you. Okay. And why did you choose the charity?
So I live really close to UC Davis Children's Hospital, UC Davis campus. My wife works there. She's a nurse. Both of our children were born at UC Davis. And my son, about an hour after he was born, he went into duress. And he essentially stopped breathing, and they still don't know to this day. But he was rushed to the NICU, and one of his valves didn't open. And thanks to the UC Davis neonatologists, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, they're like third or fourth in the nation in neonatology. Mm-hmm. But they stayed it off a day, and he didn't end up having open heart surgery, and it opened on its own the third day of life. And, you know, he's had several tests and he had other issues, but now he just turned 5 last month. He's doing great. He's in perfect health. So just, you know, learning about, you know, things that you never really thought you'd know about. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about fatherhood, things that you don't really know about. And then having UC Davis Children's Hospital in this region is hugely impactful for us.
So that time when he was in NICU,
yeah.
That was that about 3 days, it sounds like?
It was about a week. Yeah, and it was interesting because he was full term. So like he was a healthy baby all the way through. Generally, you know, sometimes babies that end up in the NICU are premature or have other health effects, and they kind of know going into it that you're going to end up in the NICU.
What? Describe the emotion you and your wife would have to go through.
It was a little bit shocking. I'm not in the medical, you know, I make sandwiches and salads for a living. She is a nurse and works at UC Davis. So like she was, I was with the baby, and then I'm texting her. It's like, oh, I think they're calling a code on River, our son. And then she came in there. But it ended up being fine. It was definitely harder on Tara, my spouse. Mm-hmm. Me just kind of going through it. It was just like, I never felt, I guess I didn't understand the severity of the situation. Looking back now is much more severe. But they did such a good job that I never felt out of control. It always seemed like they knew exactly what they were doing. And they came, you know, they had a team of doctors that came in. That's the other benefit of you know, UC Davis is like right there, you know, connected to the birthing suites is the neonatology unit. Mm-hmm. So they share a floor. So
that's cool. So you're living this world. Tell us about the UC Davis program or part of the, or UC Davis is enormous. So
enormous.
Tell us about your division, I guess.
Okay. So my name's Ann Gregory and I work on the development side with the UC Davis Children's Hospital. We work with corporate partners just like Jack's Urban Eats and are so grateful to be a beneficiary this year and working together. We're super excited and really excited for this opportunity and partner together. So UC Davis is one of 170 Children's Miracle Network hospitals across United States and Canada. So lots of people will have a community hospital that is closer to them, to their home. But UC Davis, if you need level one trauma care, hopefully no one ever needs it. And if you do, we are there for you. So level one trauma care means there's a specialist on site 24 hours a day, 365 a year. So if you need that level of care, you will come to UC Davis Children's Hospital.
Wow. So I'm going to go back to the golfers a little bit because this is a way different show, excuse me, than what we're used to. But I want to incorporate some of the general themes that we have on the show. This show is really about success stories and winning, and we're here with successful people. So maybe let's incorporate that into the conversation as it applies to what we're doing here. So I always feel like if we have a purpose that we're living by in life, it's going to be a better life. And same with business and same with maybe like giving back. And maybe talk to us about your experience in terms of having purpose and how that relates to really your success in life. Any thoughts?
Sure. I've got lots of thoughts. I don't know if many of them are relevant, but I started playing for the first tee. I've been very fortunate. My grandfather started me at golf when I was 7 years old, and I fell in love with it ever since then. If you'd have told me 30 years ago when I started playing golf that this is what I'd get to do, I would have never even dreamed that this was even a possibility. In fact, if it wasn't for Tiger Woods, this wouldn't be a possibility. Mm-hmm. So getting involved with the first tee was the first thing I could think of where I could really give back to the game that's given me so much in my life. I mean, I've met so many friends. I mean, I've created lifelong friendships through this game, and I've got a business around this game. So I couldn't think of a better way to actually give back to it than getting involved with the first tee and watching how the kids that go through there. You know, I got involved in it. We always get thought of as a golf charity, right? And it's so far from that. The kids that go through there learn all these different core values throughout their lives that you meet these kids and they're unreal. I mean, they'll get up in front of groups and speak. I mean, there was a kid that she actually got to speak in front of Congress about 4 years ago from the Sacramento chapter and just talked about her experience with the first tee and all the different things that she had learned from life skills way beyond the golf. So, you know, I got into it selfishly because I like the golf piece of it, but these kids are remarkable.
Is there some kind of qualification for the child to get into first tee, or is it pretty much open to any young person?
That's what's wonderful about it. They've got programs anywhere from a RISE program, where it's specifically working with underserved populations, to our weekend tour. They've also got programs in, I think it's like 80 or 90% of the schools in the area. So after all said and done, their reach in the Sacramento area is around 60,000 children, anywhere from around 5 years old all the way up to 18. And even beyond that, then they've got scholarships where they help kids get into colleges. It's an incredible program.
So, okay. So Eric, you're successful. You work with highly successful people. Maybe I'll kind of throw the same question at you in terms of purpose and having a why. Does that correlate with the kind of success that you have had and that you see?
Yeah, I mean, I think I talk with my clients a lot about that, just the idea of moving, well, having a clear vision, a written vision, and values and goals that really, in my mind, leads to wiser decisions, right? If we have those things, even take it a step further and write them down. And now you have the ability to reflect back and look at a filter to your decisions. And a lot of that, you know, does lead to the conversation of impact and, you know, kind of what they want to accomplish at the end of their life, like looking backwards and kind of thinking, what do I want my life to actually have meant to, you know, to the people around me, to charitable organizations. So I think it's very important. And I feel like, you know, it's been an important thing. Just generosity is one of my core values that I've had for a long time. And I think it's really cool to get to the point, you know, in your business career where you can start to give back and really be involved in actually, you know, amplifying that, right? Like we're doing right now, we're talking on a podcast, hopefully to bring awareness to this event. So it's very exciting to me. You know, I've always been somebody who's given charitably, and we give to causes in various places, but I feel like the Sierra Pregnancy Center, what feels so tangible and unique from my story and how it connects with me is just, we've raised five kids. It's been, you know, it's challenging. There's a lot of pressures, both financially, the way the world's going culturally. There's just a lot of like anti-messaging around the family unit. And so I think having that voice in the community, and especially like in our local community here, it's great to give to, you know, causes in that are supporting things in Africa and other places in the world. But I feel like we also need to do a great job here at home in Sacramento area and supporting all the families that are, you know, here in this valley. So
Sierra Pregnancy, how, besides donations, how are you funded? How else do you raise money?
We only take private donations. We take no state or federal funding. So we do connect with businesses and churches, but most everything is all private donations.
And what's the size of the organization?
We are going to serve about 700 clients this year in total. We have a staff of 11.
Wow. Okay. So you're paying the staff based upon the charitable contributions?
Yes, completely. Every penny we have goes straight into running our organization. And right now, about 76 cents of every dollar that is brought in goes all to our programs.
And what's the criteria for being included as a client? Because obviously you can't serve everybody.
Needs. It's really needs. We will serve anybody that walks through our doors, it's a medical need or a resource need. We also do pregnancy loss. So if you think of men and women that have walked through a miscarriage, stillbirth, or infertility, or an abortion, we have advocates that will come alongside them, peer counselors, if you will, that will help them navigate that.
Is there something that inspired you to want to do this, or do you like just working in the charitable arena?
I've always loved giving back. Servanthood is one of my passions, but I came from a corporate experience, did not ever expect to be running an organization that is charitable, nor did I have the skill set, but I was called into it 7 years ago and was on the board 4 years before that.
Yeah. Okay. I'll throw the purpose question over to you, Jeffrey. How does purpose play into winning and maybe even building Jack's Urban Eats and, you know, the correlation between what you're doing with UC Davis?
You know, going back to like my start at Jack's, which is kind of, we were small, you know, local restaurant at the time, I think only two stores. And now, you know, I started as a, you know, dishwasher busser, and now I'm one of the owners.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Now we have 500 employees. And, you know, with some of these new stores that are coming up, we're giving opportunities for our staff, our corporate team and general managers to invest. So just like seeing the guys that some of them still, you know, Tony Babcock and Trevor Sanders still work, still are business partners with them. And then Greg Verger, who I bought out, like the way that they took care of me, taught me the business, you know, allowed me to, you know, I showed interest in wanting to continue on and letting me get into it. I feel like today to start a business, there's so many hurdles getting into it, you know, to have great mentors. So, you know, taking care of our staff, you know, all of our managers, every single one of them has started at Jack's. You know, they start at the bottom, worked their way up. And now we're trying to provide ownership opportunities for them and grow.
It must feel good to be kind of a living example of sort of what's possible.
Sure. 100%.
Right? You are, a poster child, if you will. How old were you when you started?
I was 18, 17, 18.
So you were 18. And then what age were you when you got to buy in?
I've kind of bought in twice. And when I was 30 years old, I partnered with the founding owners to go down to Southern California and open up a Jack's down there. We failed. We did not succeed. And I learned so much from that experience, more than I've learned since, you know, coming back. You know, we closed. I came back. They gave me a general manager job. You know, they gave me a job back at Jack's, and I just jumped right back in. And then 3 years later, one of the owners, he was getting ready to retire, and I had the opportunity to buy him out. And it's been working at Jack's has been a great, you know, it's provided me with so much.
Yeah. So it's got to be really rewarding. And for me, one of my whys, I mean, I built a few businesses over the years, and when you see employees and their lives begin to change, like what yours has, that's super rewarding for the other partners too, to see one of the up and comers in, or maybe even buy their first house or become a millionaire or something like that. So that's super rewarding. I for me, that's like one of my purposes in life is helping create opportunity. And so it sounds like that's front and center with what's going on at Jack's.
Yeah, 100%.
That's exciting. And what about UC Davis? So maybe tell us a little bit more about what's going on at UC Davis and is just the children's part just kind of a small part of your arena as someone who's in development?
So yes, I work directly with the Children's Hospital
for
UC Davis and support them. UC Davis really just serves such a large area in our community. So we serve 33 counties and 65,000 square miles. So it's a really big territory. So we'll go up to Oregon, over to Nevada City, down to the Valley, and then west over into the Bay Area. So we have a critical care transport team that will transport anyone that needs to come to UC Davis. So there's teams that work within the hospital, and they're specially trained to transport children. Mm-hmm. So when UC Davis gets the call, they have about 20 minutes to be suited up and out the door, whether they're getting that child by ambulance or fixed wing or helicopter. To get them to UC Davis to get the care that they need.
Wow. And, you know, we talked about saving lives a minute ago, so you get to hear those stories. I'm kind of curious as to your donor base. Is it charity like this, or do you have a revenue model beyond the charity, right? What percentage of your revenue is this charitable stuff?
Well, we work with corporate partners and individual donors. Mm-hmm. So we do have a hospital budget, but then there's lots of things that the hospital budget does not cover.
Oh,
so the CMN funding, and that's the team that I work on, that funding brings in additional funds so that the clinical care specialists, they write grants, and then biannually we review the grants, the CMN Executive Committee does, and then look at all the requests and see if they can be funded through CMN funds. So CMN funds, they are able to provide so many things within the hospital that wouldn't be possible without donors like Jax and all, everyone who supports the hospital.
I'm kind of curious, you probably get a lot of small donations just from people who maybe are less wealthy. Mm-hmm. And so you get a small donation of $100 or $1,000 or something like that. And then you have bigger checks coming in that are maybe from somebody from the Capital Cup, or maybe somebody that's ultra high net worth that had a super positive experience at UC Davis and wants to, I don't know, get a wing named after them or something like that, right? Something that's maybe in the millions. How do you break up your, I guess, development, business development efforts from the, I guess, direct to consumer to the ultra high net worth?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so true what you say, and every penny matters, you know, that every donation is so valued and we appreciate every donation that comes in, big and small. There's a whole process. It would take way too long to explain the whole process, but basically it all comes in and then it go, depending on if it's going directly to the children's hospital or different areas within the hospital, that's where, you know, it is decided how the funds are used.
Okay. So I'm thinking about if there's any aspiring people that are like on business growth, because I imagine it's a great place to network, right? The Capital Cup, I've had people play for our organization in the past. A good buddy of mine, Todd Ballenbach, who you may know, he's one of my best friends. He played for Allegiant Vets, I think it was last year or the year before. And so I went out on the last day, and there's like a little cocktail hour, have beers and celebrate. And it's kind of like a fun atmosphere of successful local businesses. Maybe tell us about the who plays in the Capital Cup and maybe sort of the vibe of the business community that's out there playing. It's got to be fun.
So when I first started playing in it, I used to joke around. I was in banking, like Eric said before, I got into Gulf Fitness Solutions. And, well, the first year I was there, I joked around that it was 28 really important people, myself and a couple of bankers. I don't know if I can say that anymore, especially since two of the bankers happen to be CEOs of banks.
Oh, well, yeah.
But you know, it's been great. I mean, I've got several clients that I work with now that have joined me since I met them at a Capital Cup that are now training with me. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey actually trained with us beforehand and is now in the Capital Cup because I knew what he did and thought he would be great at this, and he's a great golfer and a great guy, so it was kind of a perfect introduction.
So beyond the fun of playing the game of golf, the fun of who you play with and who you're playing against and so on is got to be rewarding, but then there can be long-term relationships that are built over time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's funny because for those that have been playing for quite a period of time, like some of the guys have been playing for I think all 11 years. I think there's still three I think that have played for all 11 years. So you've got these rivalries coming up. Like I put Kurt with Kurt Kaufman, and Kurt was very upset with me about me putting up against Kurt Kaufman, so much so that they changed the pairing now. So Kurt and Carrie are going to play against each other on Sunday this year. So there's definitely...
He's got some pull still, huh?
He does have a little bit of pull.
You start an organization, you got a little pull, I guess.
It's really weird. They told me I was in charge as captain, and then, you know, this stuff happens, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. And just a shout out for Kurt Rocca. I mean, this guy, he's been on my show a number of times. I'm an investor in a couple of funds at DCA, and what a great guy. He's obviously very successful, and you know, he doesn't want to do anything small, right? Cause one little golf tournament. No, let's do a the biggest one in Sacramento. I think this is the biggest fundraiser in all of Sacramento, if I'm not mistaken.
Second to Big Day of Giving.
Big Day of Giving,
yes. But if you count it as like an actual just event, then yeah, we would be the largest Big Day of Giving, because everybody comes together and puts their hand in the pot. They get, you know, bigger, but we're right there, I think right behind them. So
that's awesome.
It's pretty impressive.
So in terms of what you're looking forward for that 3 days, what are you looking forward to most? Is it the fun? Is it, you're obviously a damn good golfer. You just want to go spank all these guys in golf or is it, you know, relationships that might help your business? Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the camaraderie, like was mentioned. I mean, I think it's really fun just getting to know new people within the Sacramento area. I mean, I grew up in the area, but I don't always know every single business leader that's around here. So it's really cool to connect the dots in terms of who's supporting who, and then just shake their hands. And then even though Adam is my captain and, you know, I think there's healthy within the team rivalry as well. So yeah, I'm just
is there,
sure
is there crap talking, I guess, try to think of the word without
just a little bit of that. Yeah. I'd say, I mean, with Adam as the captain, I think that's
you
a given.
You don't talk, you know, trash or whatever you call it.
Barbara and I might've been discussing this on the way in about how I thought that my co-captain, Chris Bradford, wasn't very good at talking crap.
Yeah. There's an art to it, huh?
There's a little bit of an art to it. And, you know, for a guy who is a football player and super competitive, I'm a little disappointed in him, but he's a hell of a guy and he's done a great job. And I look forward to him shaking my hand after we beat them on Sunday.
Okay, so thinking about this, so my brother's a golfer. I don't really golf too much, but he's gotten pretty good over the years. We sold our companies a few years ago and he became a damn good golfer. He's probably not as good as you guys, but he's good from what I hear. He's up there at Catavadera, I think, or number one. But there's an etiquette associated with golf and all this politeness, right? That's what I look at it as, like, it's a gentleman's game. And so it's a tough place for me to fit in normally. So how much of, like, traditional golf etiquette is happens on the course at Capital Cup? Is it, do you vary from that a lot and maybe say stuff while people are in the middle of their backswing, or how does that work?
Well, there's definitely no talk in the middle of backswing, but you get all kinds of, you get every type of golfer. You've got Jeffrey, who might be one of the most polite guys I've ever met in my life. And then you've got me, which is the complete opposite, where I'm jiggling change in the background and doing everything I can to try and get
everything subtle. Yeah.
You know, I'm the guy that says nice bogey after a good tee shot. Like I like to give people a bad time, but that's why golf's fun. Cause okay. You know, every personality and every skill can play it.
So Jeffrey, oh, go ahead.
I would also say just the Ryder Cup format makes it a little bit more of a team oriented kind of energy charged event. Like, cause normally everybody's playing for their own ball. They're just out there for themselves, but this is like,
okay, I don't understand what the Ryder Cup style is about. Can you explain it?
So like, I mean, Ryder Cup is something that's been going on. It's, you know, US versus England, I think, right?
Or the continent of
US versus Europe. Yeah. But it's a 3-day event. It's a team sport. So you have individual matches, but you're all fighting for your own team. And that's part of the whole deal with this is we're all raising money for individual charities, but we all have a team amount too. So like we raise a certain amount on our team, the River Cats, and then the Sactown, I don't even know their name, Sactown Solons. Okay.
We went old school with baseball games. We decided to mix it up this year. So we went River Cats versus Solons so we could wear baseball jerseys on a golf course. That was the main reason.
But so if our team wins, there's a prize pool. When we win, I should say, yes.
I like her.
When we win, there's a prize pool that all of the people on our team would split that amount based on the amount that each of us individually raised. So it's very much, it's golf, but it's also more like a, I don't know, like what would you like liken it to? Just more of like a team sport, you know, like basketball, or although we're all still playing our balls, I think there's a lot more fanfare and crazy, you know, antics that can go on.
Well, Kerry, how much pressure do you get to put on him to play well? Or not Kerry, sorry.
It's Kerry.
Oh, it is Kerry, sorry.
I put a lot of pressure on him and his dad because his dad has direct access to him.
Okay.
So
my dad's my caddy, so.
But he's really been so easy to work with. So we've had him into the center. He's done commercials for us on KFIA and 1380. So we've had it's been a great partnership. And again, just him learning about all that we do and how we support the community, I think was a good way for him to get connected with us.
That's awesome. Okay, so how about you? What are you looking forward to on that weekend? Is it next week? When is it anyway?
It's this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So initially, initially when Adam asked me, it was like as a young father getting out from playing for 3 days in a row is very rare for me. So like the chance to actually get, I'm sure to get the permission from the wife to play for 3 days in a row is awesome. But no, it's been great. You know, like Eric and I played a practice round against Adam. And you're meeting all these guys and gals that are playing in the Capital Cup. They all have really cool, interesting stories, you know, ranging in ages. I'm not sure, you know, the age range, but there's probably someone in their 20s up to someone in their 70s. I don't want to overage someone, but yeah, there's a huge, and just all different types of people who are in the middle of their careers, people who are starting their careers, people who are retired, highly successful people. It's been really awesome.
Well, the best ball part of it. So one of the days is best ball, it sounds like, right? So is that the day when things are more equalized? Because we have our own golf tournament. We didn't do it this year, but because Marcus was playing in this, but you know, if we do best ball, and sometimes it can kind of like equalize for the, you know, if you got one good player, you get to get that guy's ball.
Yeah. Right. I think one of the days will be alternate shots. So let's just say Eric and I are teammates. I hit the tee shot. He hits the next, you know, hopefully hits the green, and then I putt. And if I miss, he putts, and then you switch the next hole. So you have alternate shot. And then the next day is a type of best ball where both people tee off, and then spectrum.
So second day, Saturday is best ball over at Del Paso Country Club. And the way it works is both players play their own ball with their own handicaps, you take the lowest net score for each team. And it's basically match play. It's basically two-man match play instead of one-on-one match play. And you take basically that low score for each one. So if I make a four and say Jeffrey makes a five and we're playing against somebody else, then our score is going to be four for that hole.
Okay. All right. So how much are we budgeting to collect from these guys? What are you thinking? What's your share?
$5 million.
No pressure.
Year one.
So
year
is
one.
It up to him to go raise the money?
No, we are grateful for any.
Yeah.
So what do you do to go raise the money? You just call your buddies and say, hey.
So we did a day of giving. So the first Thursday in August. All the Sacramento stores. So the 9 locations here in Sacramento, we gave 25% of total. Sales that day to
that's a part of the revenue of the company.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we raised about $30,000 that day. And then yes,
30?
Yeah, 30,000. But some of the, you know, you'll get some of these guys have, you know, Eric's already passed 100,000. You know,
you're past. You got all the high net worth people in your world. You're like, hey, slide me a few bucks.
Yeah, no, but we've reached out to our vendors and people like that to hopefully get. You know, our goal is to raise 50,000. So hopefully we get there. You know, for our first year, Adam had a poker tournament, super fun. You know,
and then you take a piece of the rake. You rake some off of the top.
No, when it comes to raising money, I'm very upfront about it. I'm going to try and get as much money from you for my charity as I possibly can. So we don't even take a rake; we just take it all.
Let's go throw in some money and play poker for fun, and I'm going to take everything.
That's basically
end.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so let's maybe go around and maybe just some closing thoughts about Capital Cup and. You know, what Kurt and Ann and, you know, everybody are doing to sort of bring this together for the biggest, baddest, you know, year ever.
Well, I think the important thing is that Jeffrey win all three of his matches and Eric win all three of his matches. And then if I win all three of my matches and then the rest of the blue team wins the rest of their matches, it'll be a good weekend for the blue team.
Yeah, baby.
No, so realistically, we've got that $100,000 prize that he was talking about. It's kind of a neat way that Kurt and Carrie came up with this over the years. So we each pay $2,800 to play in the event, and that covers all the expenses. So all of the money that's donated throughout it goes directly to charities. It's not used to actually cover any of the costs of the event. So we're not collecting money to go pay for golf rounds over at a country club. We've all paid to be in there. And once we get anything in there, that money also goes into a pool, whatever's left over, which comes out to be about $100,000. And based off of however much you raise as an individual, that becomes a percentage. And that's the percentage of the $100,000 that you go ahead and get for that. So like he's raised, I think, $35,000 or $40,000. I'm at $55,000. He's just showing off. I'm not even going to say his number because I'm disgusted by it. I'm just kidding. It's a little over $100,000. It's pretty impressive. So,
all right. Closing thoughts about what you're working on?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it my best out there. You know, I'm just gonna go play as well as I can, and yeah, hopefully the right team wins, the River Cats and
the good guys.
The good guys.
Yeah. I feel like this is a Yoda moment. There is no try. There is only do.
Do or do not. Or do. Or
I
don't
think he's
do.
Got a lot of humility. He's, obviously just, got. Good game.
Yeah, I'm excited to play. It's going to be fun. I echo what Jeffrey said. I'm just thankful, honestly, to my wife that she's letting me out for 3 days in a row.
Yeah, so day one, where's day one at? It's not at Del Paso.
Northridge.
Northridge, Del Paso, and then Granite Bay?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've gone out to day three a few times because it's nearby here and I've got out there to celebrate. So
yeah,
it's day three, still at Granite Bay. Okay.
Yep.
I might get out there. Then
please join us.
Hang out, have a beer with my son.
Yeah. And it's exciting. You get to bring your caddy out on the last day. So my dad's going to come out and caddy for me, which is very fun. Nice. And yeah, just looking forward to all the camaraderie and hanging out and probably some crap talking to a little bit here. And
I don't know who my son's caddy is. He didn't ask me to caddy for him, so we'll see how that plays out. Maybe just carry the bag around. And that's a long 18 holes, right? It's a lot
of walking. You can
get a walker, or you get a cart?
No, you get a cart.
Yeah, you can get a cart.
Oh, you get a cart. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, I might if he asked me, he hasn't asked yet. So, closing thoughts?
I think the power of what the Capital Cup does for the Sacramento area is amazing. And what I have loved is getting to know the different organizations and the golfers into why they're golfing. I mean, just even to hear your personal story, Jeff, is so amazing. And so for me, I think it's just, again, a way that with organizations like this and the Capital Cup, how we're trying to bridge the gap to meet the needs of our greater communities. And that's what's so powerful.
All right. Yep. You want to go to you for some closing thoughts?
Yeah, just to echo what you're saying, I agree completely. And this is just such an amazing event. So grateful to be part of it year one and have learned so much about it. And just that this event really is bringing so many people together and supporting so many different charities within our community is incredible. So congratulations to all of you for everything you've done over the many years.
I would agree with that. Yeah, congratulations and thank you for what you do. It's really something that's super special that I feel like Sacramento's, we put ourselves in a position to work together, maybe better than some towns our size, because we're a pretty big region, but we kind of play small, and it's really, really kind of cool. We see that in the entrepreneurial community a lot. But it's great to see it happening within philanthropy as well. It's really nice to see.
Agreed. Yeah. Like Anne and I, you know, she lives across the street from my aunt. Like I met her. I didn't even know that I met her, you know, because of this tournament. And then we had so many common, you know, she knows my, you know, she knows my family and common people. But
Sacramento.
Yeah. To wrap things up.
Yeah, you're going to drop the mic. We need a mic drop moment now.
Shameless plug, but we have five more days left of donations. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can help, put up our.
Yeah, I think, does this post on Wednesday? So it's going to post this week. So you'll get like 3 days or whatever.
Whatever. You can donate to all the cap. I'm sure if they give you the link, you can donate.
For anybody that wants to donate, if you go to L5 Cap Cup, that'll get you right to where you want to go. If you want to donate money, look for Adam Johnson,
Jeffrey Glassby,
Eric Restrepo,
but mostly Adam Johnson.
Not Adam Johnson. I'm for my son. So but go to L5 Capital Cup, and L5 must contribute significantly to get this thing named after him.
Yeah, he gave us a lot of money, and we're very grateful that he's joining us.
All right. Who is he? What is his name?
Mike Flaherty.
Mike Flaherty. Let's give a little shout out to Mike for being the big gun. And
thanks, Mike.
Really, supporting this cause. Good job, Mike.
We're giving him less credit because he's on the other team.
Yeah. Boo, Mike.
Thank you guys for coming on the show. It's great getting to meet you, and it's fun hanging out with people that really care about our community. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Right. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.